Hey guys, join us today to see if a performance package can turn an Audi SUV into a performance car that an enthusiast would want to buy.
Oh yeah, you guys know what time it is. It's time for a brand new episode of the Bid Nerds. Welcome to the program. My name is John Polnick, coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada, along with my partner Michael Deeb in San Francisco. And of course we have producer Patootie making sure the quality is there. She's doing her job. She's got her she's growling at you, Deeb. Did you hear that? Yeah, she's like, you better get it right today. Don't screw up. All right, Patootie, good job. Thanks for opening the show. Hello everybody. How's it going? Michael Deeb, what's up?
Oh man, it's Monday, dude. It's super well, I shouldn't say that, but yeah, it's a day.
Monday for us.
We're having a day.
If you're watching the show, it may not be Monday, but the way we do this, we record the show and then, hey, we are getting so close to the 1,000 mark that we really got to start talking about doing the live feed. Would you guys join a live feed if we did it every week? We're thinking maybe Sunday night or Monday night. We haven't decided yet. But we really want to kind of include you guys on a live show. We think that would be a lot more fun if the Rosses and the Andrews and the Family Guys and there's just so many, you know, all the Michaels, all the nerd herd join us on a live show. It'd be awesome.
That's it. We'll pick a day and we'll figure it out. But let us know when you guys would be more engaged, and it'll make all the difference in the world.
Well, Anthony got a Yahtzee. One of the nerd herd got a Yahtzee last week. He's killing it.
I think it's rigged.
His bids are always BAT better than ours. What the hell, man?
BAT and Anthony have some sort of relationship that goes above and beyond the show, because there's no way. You got a Yahtzee on an underperforming special edition car. That doesn't make any sense. I think maybe Anthony has a time machine. He actually saw what it closed for and then went back in time and put his bid in.
I think what it is that he is smarter than us, and he actually pays attention, does a little homework, actually looks at the ad and reads things. Because we
don't
do any of that stuff. We do no prep. Hey, Anthony, we've got he DM'd us. If you're one of the nerd herd, or if you're new to the show, and you're just kind of like you're a new subscriber, that makes you part of the nerd herd. If you ever get a Yahtzee, that means you play along. Okay, let's talk about the show real quick. What do we do here? If you're new to the show, we find the most interesting car from all the automotive enthusiasts, auction sites like Bring a Trailer, Cars and Bids, P-Car Market, Hagerty Marketplace, and more. We talk about that specific car. We show you all about it, everything about the ad. We make a prediction as to what we think is going to happen with that car's auction. And then when the auction is over, we go into the future, and we will show you at the end of this very episode what happens with that car. So we reconcile our erroneous predictions with the actual results, so you can see that you're probably right and we are wrong. So that's what we do on the show. You can DM us on the channel, but it's probably best on Instagram to DM us there. It's a lot easier to interact with fans there, or in the comments. We've got a package for Anthony, a Yahtzee package, which is a bunch of Bid Nerd stickers. We got him a Rami show hat with a condom on the front. He's got a Derfossination t-shirt coming. He's got he's just a box of swag. Rochelle and Patootie are boxing up a bunch of stuff for him. So he's got a big old package coming. And we need to do a bunch of that stuff for some of the other original nerd herd out there. And, we'll start doing that more often. Ross, some of you other guys, 5150, the Michaels, all you guys, DM us on the Instagram, and let's get your addresses and stuff like that, and let's get you some cool swag, because we do have some swag that we can send you right now, and we've got other stuff
coming
too.
If you got a Yahtzee and we didn't notice it, will you please let one of the two of us know that, so that we can acknowledge it on the air and give you credit where credit is due, because we suspect that a couple of you might have gotten a Yahtzee before and either went unnoticed or unacknowledged, and we want to fix that. So since Anthony may or may not be the first nerd herd Yahtzee, so we want to figure that out. Let us know, because we do such a stupendous job at keeping track of all the comments.
Yeah, right. Oh, by the way, Anthony, I think he is selling a Cayenne, an 09 Cayenne,
oh,
a really nice black on black one, I want to say. So if you, and I think he's
classified
looking to
or
give it, just classified at the moment. I don't know if he's going to do the auction thing. So if somebody's looking for, he wants to put money into his, I think he's got a 928 project that he's working on. So if anybody's looking for a sweet SUV, give us a call. We'll connect you with him. All right. Shout out to our good friends at God and Classic. Michael Deeb, you want to tell us a little bit about God and Classic before we get going?
So God and Porsche of Las Vegas, Nevada was the very first Porsche Classic partner in North America. As such, they have all the experts with regards to finding you the correct parts for every Porsche that's ever been made, servicing your classic Porsche with a dedicated and vetted Porsche Classic technician. And then they've got a guy named Steve Thiel who runs the classic in the front of the house and basically can help you either find a classic car or may have a classic car in their inventory that you might be interested in. Call our friends at God and Porsche, ask for the classic department, and let them know the Bid Nerds sent you.
All right. What is today's most interesting car, Michael Deeb?
Okay, this could be a future classic. JP, on Cars and Bids, we're looking at a 2017 Porsche Macan Turbo, you might say. But what's interesting, and JP, I think you're going to be aware of this, but this car has the extremely rare Porsche Performance Package. Were you aware of that? Do you know that they made this car?
I am unaware of the Porsche Performance Package on a Macan. Tell me
okay.
that.
All right, let me explain, which I love to do, and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. So basically, the Porsche Macan Turbo was the highest model that Porsche made back in 2017, 2018, I think, as well. And those cars made about 400 horsepower and about 400 pound-foot of torque. Rather than making a Macan Turbo S as a model that would have been in the bucket that all of the Porsche dealers, all 191 Porsche dealers would have had to order between one and five of. What they did was they made what essentially would have turned out to be like an S model. They made it a performance package that you could order. And thus, I think what Porsche was doing is rather than making everybody commit to buying one and maybe struggle to sell it in their market, anybody who wanted one could just order it as an option. And so what you got was a 10% bump in power. So 400 horsepower goes up to 440, and torque rose to 436 pound-foot of torque. You got specially tuned suspension, so the suspension was a little bit firmer. You got bigger brakes, so you got a larger six-pot calipers and larger discs in the front. It came automatically with what else can I tell you about it? Let me see. It came automatically with
Hold on. I know you're kind of going through this stuff. You know, you say it has bigger brakes and bigger brakes than the Turbo already has bigger brakes than all the other Macans?
Yes. Yes. I mean, this package was legit. So it came standard with sport exhaust, standard with sport chrono, model-specific tuned suspension calibration, larger front brake rotors with six-piston calipers, and then the big performance, in horsepower and torque. So this package, I think, was like $18,000 or something. This particular car here was $114,000 for a Porsche Macan back in 2017. This thing flew. So when I worked there, I think we sold a handful at Godin. I actually ordered one for my client who split his time between a small town outside of Las Vegas and Alaska. So he wanted a really cool car, and we kind of hit it off, and we ordered one of these for him, and he waited 6 months for this car to come in. And he did a bunch of custom stuff on the inside as well. He made his car beautiful with gauges and all this wood and stuff, and the car came out really, really nice. He took delivery of the car and drove it, and I talked to him every month after he bought the car. He would not stop raving about this thing, JP. And I got to drive it when the car came in, so he wanted me to drive it and take it around on that initial delivery test drive that we did together. And I'm telling you, JP, you could feel it. It a big, big bump in power. This car absolutely flew. So all of that is to say that today, and you know this, I'm not trying to rub salt in your wounds, Macans are falling off a table for as far as depreciation. So I thought we would take a look at this 55,000 mile example out of West New York, New Jersey. And the big question I'm going to ask you after I show you the rest of this car is, will the performance package prevent this particular Macan from losing its ass in depreciation value? Our car has just 55,000 miles. It's beautifully done in silver. The car was ordered with the optional 21-inch Porsche Classic wheels, which are those beautiful sort of Fuchs-style wheels. The guy also ordered it with PCCBs, Porsche's ceramic composite braking system, and then, of course, the ultra-rare Porsche performance package, which is going to give you the big bump in power, the bigger brakes, and the sport exhaust all as standard. The car looks to be very clean. It's accident free. And I'm going to just read this to you really quick, JP. I believe it is the original owner of the car as well, as I pull up the Carfax to confirm. No, the car's had actually a handful of owners, but whatever. It looks still to be reasonably low miles and in really nice condition. The car presents well, and it's rare by the numbers with this build, because again, they didn't make it a model, they just made it an option package. Is that enough to save this car from falling off a table? If this were just a standard turbo, JP, I'd say this is a $40,000-$45,000 car with the miles and the condition. But with ceramics and the performance package, you know, is this car going to go for significantly more? So I send it back to you. Clearly you weren't aware of this version or this package for the car. What do you think after I sort of stumbled through laying it all out?
Jealous. Yeah. You know, I have an 18 GTS and it's great. You know, I've driven plenty of turbo versions of this, and you know, being the 2018, mine essentially is a turbo, but it has the smaller engine or whatever. So yeah, it's got a bump in horsepower from the S, but compared, usually the thing about the turbos, usually they have the standard seats. Usually they don't have like the GTS right. trim package, and that's what really makes this thing stand out. It looks great. I love this Macan. Right. I love it so much more than mine. Gosh, I'm so jealous.
Right.
You know, and the thing is mine isn't that much different when you know, this one has the better wheels, the 21 inch wheels. It looks like from the factory reading the build sheet, it came with the 20 inch spider wheels, the wheels that I have yep. on mine. But these wheels, these 21 inch sport design wheels, are so much better on the Macan. And I have been scouring yeah. all the forums and all the different places trying to find me a used set that isn't ridiculously overpriced, because even on the used mart, usually you can find knockoff Porsche wheels really inexpensively, but you know, because people replace them with other wheels. But man, this particular set of wheels is hard to find. Interestingly enough, a lot of people don't realize this, that because the Macan and the Audi, you know, what is it, the Q5 share a chassis, this is the only Porsche that has a different hub pattern, like lug pattern. So you cannot put wheels from, say, a Cayenne on a Macan, because they
good useless trivia. Way to nerd out, JP. I'm impressed.
Definitely
with that one.
Nerd
nicely
info.
Done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I've seen people make that mistake and buy a set of Cayenne wheels, thinking that they're going to put them on their Macan. Not going to work. The floorboards, I've never seen that on one of these two. What's that? Oh, we lost your camera there, Michael D. But that's okay. I'll talk about
the wheels that you would like.
What's that?
Is there a set of Audi wheels that you would throw on?
I don't
your
know.
Porsche
I, maybe, you know, if they were 21 inch, that might look kind of cool. But it also, Audi wheels are so distinctive that it would look, they would look like Audi wheels, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. I probably wouldn't bother unless they're these exact wheels. But I don't know. That said, I'm really curious about that sports pack, the performance package that you're talking about. That's got to be pretty darn awesome, because these are just god dang magnificent. It is. Yeah. So shocking how good Macans are. I love it. Mine's kind of a love hate. I've got the sport exhaust like this one and all the same features. My interior looks the same as this one, only mine's red and black instead of, you know, but this one, I love the black with the silver. Mine has the red with the carbon and stuff like that, which I think is a little too much. This is just the way I would have, if I would have actually bought one new, I would have, if I had the option, I definitely would have gotten, I mean, this is, geez, look how good this thing looks.
Bose sound system. It's got the ventilated seats.
Yeah.
You mentioned the sport seats, which I failed to mention. That's a great call because a lot of people just won't plump for those because it's a part of a package. And
they really
does clearly
look better.
This car was designed for somebody.
Yeah.
And they're better seats, right? Like if you're driving your car back home to Washington, JP, and yeah. you're in the Macan with those sports seats, you get out of the car after, you know, 4 or 5 hours to take a stop and you just stretch like this and you feel fine. Your back doesn't hurt. Your legs yeah. don't hurt. Those seats make a huge difference.
They say, you know, one car, if you could, that whole one car solution, if you needed yeah. some utility and stuff like that, people brag about how great a lot of the SUVs are in handling and all that kind of stuff. And I've had Cayenne turbos with PDDC, and it really is magnificent, the capability of some of those vehicles. But there's the Macan is a big GTI, is what it really is. Yeah. You know, it handles like one, it drives like one. It's just, it is the ultimate four-door vehicle for everything. Luft 8? Back in the yeah. fall, we did a professor run.
Yeah. Long Beach,
and you had your 914.6, and we went out on that run, yep. and you know, it was just like, it's just driving that thing. You just put your pinkies up. Everyone's like, you know, and your air cooled car is sweating and trying to get them around. This it's just so damn capable. It's borderline boring. Even with sport exhaust, it the outside, when you're outside of a Macan, you hear one go by, you're like, damn, that thing sounds badass. But unfortunately, inside, it's too well insulated. You don't hear it. It's like you don't get right. that butt horsepower. So there's a little, it's like a GT3. Not that this car is as good as a GT3, but like, man, you got to put yourself out there to really get it on the ragged edge. And, you know, you might go to jail or something like that. I will throw out some shade on Macan, though. And I'm knock on wood lucky to not have this issue. Most of them of this era have a really bad design flaw in the valve cover, but the timing belt cover, not the timing belt itself, okay. but the actual cover has like 20 of these little screws that hold it on and those screws are made of plastic. They cause oil leaks on these. Is not like the end of the world. But because this is such a complex damn engine, that's like a 10-hour job. So it's like, or worse, oh, I think, geez. You know, because the repair on this, the upgrade is somewhere around $7,000-$9,000 to get this thing to stop leaking oil. If it winds up having, in almost all of them, that will eventually have that problem. It won't cause the engine to blow, but it will cause a big old oil leak, and so you gotta fix it. Yeah. And if you get it done by the factory, they're required to use the original screws, which are also plastic. So it'll happen again. So maybe, you know, when you call a Godin Classic to upgrade yours, maybe you can ask them, hey, can you put metal screws in? I know some of the indies are using, you know, steel screws instead that fix this problem. They won't crack and break and leak. So anyways, that's a lot, excuse me, to talk about a Macan. But with all that, what do we think this thing's going to go for?
JP, I like what you said about calling this like, you know, a GTI. Could you imagine a Macan performance package and a Golf R? This thing would smoke a Golf R.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, dude, even a GT, no, not even a G, a Macan S will smoke a Golf R.
Yeah.
Will smoke it.
Right, right.
Absolutely blow its doors off. So what do we think's going to happen?
On Cars and Bids on the East Coast, just 55,000 miles and a very rare performance package. Our car closes a couple of days from now and is sitting at $45,000 on 6 bids. I would say $45,000 would be a retail number for this car if it were, just a standard turbo with the miles and the rest of the options, like the big wheels and the ceramic brakes. That would be the number. But I think this one's going to go a little bit farther. Because of the package and because of how well this car looks. So JP, the real retail number for this car could be $65,000 to $70,000, to be honest. But I do think Cars and Bids is maybe the right place for this car, but I just wonder how well it's going to do. I just wonder, like, you're a Porsche guy, like you're a bigger Porsche guy than I am. And you didn't know about this car. The only reason I knew about this package is because I worked at the damn dealership. I wonder if not enough people understand what this thing is, and maybe that's what holds it back. So I'm going to bring a slightly conservative number, even though I think the car is worth more. So I'm going to say $57,000, and I'm not sure if $57,000 is enough for it to sell, but I really think this car is worth $65,000 to $75,000 because of how rare it is and because of the performance envelope on it. But I don't think that's going to happen here. And it's not that Doug DeMiro doesn't have the right platform. I think this is the right place for the car. I just don't think enough people are aware of it. So I send it to you at $57,000, JP, knowing in my heart that the car is worth more money. But what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I'm with you. The Porsche screwed up not putting an S badge on this. Porsche people, and Porsche of all people knows this stuff. Why they would fail to do that makes no sense to me. Or give it, instead of a performance package, give it some sticker that says Black Edition or something, or limited, or yeah, call it a James Dean version, or I don't know, something. Porsche dorks get off on that stuff, and they pay through the nose for it. Put a number, make it a numbered thing or something. There's only 500 of them, or whatever, and people would pay so much more money for it. And how awesome would it be? Because it would actually have some performance to go with because like, how often do we see Porsche put numbered badges on versions of Boxsters or something, and there's no performance upgrades, or maybe one stupid little performance upgrade? This has all the bag of chips, everything you want, except the collectability by having a badge. So I think that's a fail on the factory's part, but that's that's already been done, so nothing we could do about that. I'm with you. Boy, Cars and Bids has been kind of stepping up their game and bringing some big money for cars, unlike what they used to be able to pull off. So I don't know, but Macans are soft as F. They're just soft. Yeah. So 57, it's what a great car for that much money. I also think it has too many miles. 55,000 miles is not a lot of miles, but I think people will, you start getting into that 60 range and they're looking for, you can easily get a GTS or a Turbo.
Got a warranty.
With 20,000 miles on it. So I'm going to step right underneath you and go 55, because it is already at 45 and still has a few days to go. We do see sometimes on Cars and Bids kind of things peter out, unlike like Cars and, or Bring a Trailer, usually you see those rallies at the end. I'm going to say 55 and just hedge my bet there. I think it's going to be somewhere between 50 and 55.
Can we say Doug DeMiro's clock is too small?
Maybe.
Because he doesn't have the rallies, and I think part of that is because he does such a short clock. I'm so scared I'm going to say it wrong. But anyway, I think if his timer was a little longer, that maybe he'd have better rallies.
That's an interesting take. Maybe.
He's got the shortest clock in the business.
And there's our thumbnail. We got to make that graphic. That's going to be fun. All right. What do you guys think is going to happen with this Macan? Is it going to bring all the money? Is this the Macan you want? Or is there a better spec? Let us know in the comments below. Hit the subscribe, like, and notification button if you haven't done it already. Dee, before we go into the future, how about our Guys Custom Bracelets? Remember our sponsor, Guys Custom Bracelets?
Yes, our sponsor is amazing. So this one right here is a Guys Custom. I don't know if you guys can see this because it's probably out of focus, but there's like a fishing lure highlight bead on this. This particular one, JP, I don't want to make you jealous, but I have a very special relationship with the creator of this company, and this one was made for me, I believe, as a gift. And I
don't think it's a fishing lure. Isn't that like a piece of titanium?
Yeah, but it looks like a fishing lure.
Yeah, she doesn't use lead. She uses all glass or no plastic. It's all like semi-precious and precious stones. Yeah. And
it's this big, huge metal thing, but it doesn't weigh anything. So you're right, it probably is titanium, but it's pretty badass. It's really, I don't know, it's super neat. Anyway, I like this, and the beads are oversized, and it's the black lava. Tailor made for me, and I wear it with pride. Get yours. Call Guys Custom.
I think we forgot to mention that she does paint the sample ones for cars.
Oh,
like if you have Mexico blue or whatever. I'm no paint to sample. This is the carbon black with the titanium and carbon black or carbon fiber bead. It's pretty dope. It was actually made to match my black Submariner. But whatever. Mm. So she matches
but not
watches
either,
as well.
But not either one of your black Porsches or your
technically
black
it goes
black
with
Natty,
either of the
glasses.
Black ones. I need to get a new one with like a piece of gold for gold spike. That would be sick. That would be dope. Yeah, that needs to happen.
That
would be sick. All right. All right. let's go to the future and find out what happens with this Macan right after this. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. Hey guys, welcome back. All right, we are in our future machine. We fired up the old flux capacitor, and here we are. In that amount of time, Michael Deeb, you know, I'm not a sports ball guy at all, but our hockey team here in Las Vegas won the Stanley Cup. The Golden Knights won, so I've got a guy's custom bracelet here. Made by Guy's Custom Bracelet to commemorate that.
What the puck? Yeah, dude, that was unbelievable. So, John, really quickly, I don't know if you remember this or if you're cognizant of this, but the year we moved out there was July of 17. Mm. And in October of 17, we had the big tragedy with the shooting in Las Vegas. And we were just there long enough to like unpack and settle in, and then had this like, you know, really massive event hit the community. And Esther and I were there, and we had front row seats to watch a community galvanize around a tragic event and thus pour all of this energy and this sense of communion into this brand new, the first year that the Vegas Knights skated in the NHL was 2017. And they had a magical run all the way to the Stanley Cup, where they won the first game and then lost the next four. But I was hooked. I became a Knights fan instantly for being there and to see what the team represented to Las Vegas and Clark County, and how emotional and magical the whole run was. The very first game they played against Dallas, and the Dallas Stars came and skated over and stood next to the Knights and had their hands on each of the Knights players' back while they sang the national anthem. And they said, "Dallas stands with the Vegas Knights." I get choked up thinking about it. It was amazing. So to see the Knights stay the course and stick with it and come and make it to the Cup, John, I was at home in San Francisco screaming at the television. I watched all the games, and I could not be more proud. Congratulations to the Vegas Knight and to everybody in Las Vegas. Unbelievable. Really, really cool stuff. What the puck.
Yep, they did. They done good. They got the cup. They had the at the time of this recording, they had their big parade.
Which was on hilarious, the, by the way.
Yeah,
they had. Did you see some of the speeches?
I did.
Did you listen?
No.
Okay, so a couple of the players are up there with the microphone talking to the crowd with no shirts on, hammered, slurring their words, trying to thank everybody. They were just pickled. It was some of the speeches will live in YouTube folklore forever. They were hilariously done.
You could actually see the thing from Rami's place.
That's right.
On the strip there. But they didn't come down to my end of the strip, unfortunately. What the hell?
Yeah, that's awesome. Right. Which leads one to believe that Rami's place might be the place to watch Formula One this year, my friend.
That is correct. That is already, we were talking about maybe renting it. He was going to rent it out maybe, but then a bunch of people got word that you could see the track, so now that's where we're going to be at.
Yeah, I got my seat reserved. I told him, I said, "Look, I'm not going to crash there, but I'm definitely watching the race on Saturday night at your house." He's like, "Done." I'm like, "Sweet."
It's going to be so packed in there. Oh, my God.
I don't care. Who cares?
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Fun. Good times. All right, well, that's not why people have stuck around this long. Thank you if you have. Everyone's kind of going, what happened with this little Macan? So let's get to the results of the Macan.
Yeah. Dude, I'm just saying, man, should have bought this car. JP, we love this Macan on Cars and Bids because it's got that performance package. It's got decently fair miles at 55,000 miles out of West New York, New Jersey. But, John, we really – both of us thought this car was going to go somewhere. When we looked at it, it was at $45,000 on 6 bids and so rare with the performance package. I thought 57,000 and was thinking it might go to 65. You came in underneath me at 55, ever the more pragmatic one. It was a good bid. But, JP, our car only made another $1,000 before it sold. $46,000 on just 7 bids for this beautiful silver car with ceramic brakes and the performance package. JP, I am kicking myself today and the day that it closed that I wasn't watching it, because I actually think I would have. This is one of those ones where I would have bid and then apologized to my wife later, which I've done before with a Mercedes I don't want to talk about. But JP, what do you think of this result? I mean, I'm stunned that a car this nice, this rare, and this cool went for so little money. I know Macans are soft, but I can't believe you could get this. What did we say it cost? It was like $130,000 or $113,000 MSRP. This is just, yeah, it's 114 grand MSRP. That's a lot of car for the money, I think. So somebody stole it. Congratulations to the buyer. JP, you won that one, but what do you think of the result? Would you have bought this car for 46 grand?
Well, I mean, I already have one, so no. But if I didn't, it would definitely be on the list. No, I don't know. I mean, it's a regular car is the thing. And, you know, this kind of, it just, to me, it checks a little box, right? It says that this is a normalization of the car business. All the car dealers that I'm talking to, you know, since we fired up the flux capacitor from the last episode, in the last few weeks, you know, you're in the business too. I mean, we're like, I'm not in the car business, but I have clients that are, and obviously we do this show, so we pay attention to this stuff. You are in the auction business. So, you know, the interesting stuff continues to, you know, even kind of the values and prices still are kind of still tickering up. But normal cars, you know, it's getting easier and easier to get normal cars. And let's face it, this is an exceptional normal car, but it's still a normal car. This is a normal person's car. I have a hard time calling this an enthusiast car. And, you know, this kind of, it's like, cars and bids, the way cars and bids used to be is that you would see a flurry of action at some point in the car's auction. And then on the last day, sometimes there wouldn't be any bids. I accidentally bought a car doing that on cars and bids. I put a bid in, you know, we talked about it on this very show, that BMW.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh man, there's still, you know, half a day left. Of course, someone's going to outbid me on this. And they didn't. I'm like, what? There's no more bid, not another bid in a day, you know? So I think that if the car isn't exceptional, if it's not something that's truly special, we're going to see some of these auctions just kind of fizzle out and not get a whole lot of attention.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question, JP.
Sure.
Because everything you said applies to the platform this car was on and cars and bids. Mm. When we covered it days before it closed, it was at 45 grand on six bid. It sold a couple days later at $46,000 on seven bids. If this car were on Bring a Trailer, you have to agree that it would have got more than seven bids. So if it got more than seven bids, would it have made more than $46,000 on Bring a Trailer with the performance package?
Maybe a couple
of
grand.
That crazy big audience.
I mean, again, we talked about it before the break. That performance package just doesn't mean anything to anyone.
It does to me.
Well, then you should have bought it and should have been paying attention, you slacker.
I led with that. I should have bought it.
No, it's a great car. I have a Macan. I don't have a turbo with a performance package, but there's no shortage of these. You can go anywhere and get one for this or less. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people that are looking, look, here's another question. It's like when it comes to performance vehicles, how many people have that two car solution? We talk about that. We talk about DWA started this little game a long time ago, and we love playing their game, right? Two cars. Yeah. You have a sports car and you have something else. You know, if you have kids or, you know, a daily driver or whatever, what does that daily driver need to be? And how much money do you really want to put into the daily driver if you're limited on funds? Like, not everyone's a big baller restaurant owner, Michael D. or my partner Rami, where he's like, buy everything for $400,000 a piece. You know, he has a 25 car solution is his equation. But, you know, for someone who's like, okay, you know what? I don't want to have $100,000 in cars. So let's say you had because like if you want an enthusiast sports car, you're going to be spending 50 to 100, right?
Yeah.
So would you rather spend 75, 80 on a nice 911 and then 20 on an old Cayenne? Or would you rather get a lesser sports car of some sort and spend more on your daily driver that you're just going to be driving around with, you know, kids eating Cheerios or dogs in the back or whatever. I don't, if you have the money, you know, okay, this would be great. So I think a lot of people are kind of in the situation where they'd rather spend that extra money on something like the cool car, that they can kind of savor. I don't know. That's the way I tend to look at it. I also think that the cool cars tend to hold their value better. As a Macan owner, I can tell you that they are crappy when it comes to, you know, long-term value. It's just going to continue to depreciate like any other shitty Audi.
Well, I was just going to say, I can't believe you bought an Audi after your banana hammock fiasco. John, I love to counter you for compelling copy, but I agree with everything you just said. Everybody would rather spend, you know, another 50% more on their cool car and then just find a reasonable, reliable but fun and usable daily driver. So it's a very good argument, and $100,000 is a pretty sane budget for a pair of cars.
Yeah.
If a car is one of your main hobbies, you know what I mean?
This car is for the person that needs one car. Just doesn't have, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to spend, you know, $40,000 or $50,000. It's like, well, at that point, what do you get for a sports car? You're going to be pretty limited. I mean, there's still some great cars out there, but then your daily driver is going to be a $10,000 or $15,000. You know, this is like this Macan. You're keeping up with almost anything on any rally, in the corners, in the straights, doing whatever you want to do, and you're going to be comfortable. And you know, it's a good looking rig too. It's not anything. Absolutely. No one's going to turn their nose up on this. If you're going to do
super nice car,
if you got to be in a crossover, this is the crossover of all crossovers. I said it before the break. It's a big GTI is what it really is.
Absolutely.
And they're freaking awesome. So yeah, what do you guys out there think? If you are limited on funds, you got that two car solution, would you rather spend more money on your one awesome sports car and then less on your daily driver, or would you rather spend all the money on your daily driver and just carve out a little bit of money to get a beater sports car because you're only driving it on the weekends or something like that? Let us know in the comments below, and we will be back, I don't know, probably tomorrow with you know, the most interesting car. I don't know, I'm gonna shut up now.
Get the nerd!